If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
I'm John Williams. I host a Mincing Rascals podcast, which drops every Wednesday afternoon. It's the podcast for people who care about Chicago. A smart, sometimes funny panel of people discuss issues ranging from curfews in the city and a shooting near a movie theater to some of what's happening in Washington, D.C., and then movies we like or other stuff like that. I think you'll like the podcast. If you are a podcast listener, I hope you include the Mincing Rascals. And if you're not a podcast listener, you might try. It's my voice along with some other familiar ones. You've got a podcast app on your phone. Just tap that and type in The Mincing Rascals, and there you are. The gang this week, it was weird because I didn't see this coming, started to talk about what we remember 5 years ago, Monday or Tuesday, when the pandemic hit. The five-year anniversary was here. But then we opened up, I think, some old scores about who was responsible. Did Lori Lightfoot do a good job? What should we do if there's another pandemic? It got a little spirited there, and you'll hear that in part Saturday night on WGN at 8 o'clock. But listen to the full conversation, the Mincing Rascals. And one of the things we also talked about was curfew, and does that really cut crime? And then I was looking at the Sun-Times today, and they had a story about the clearance rate. That is an arrest made? Is there a prosecution for a shooting in Chicago? It's 6%. 2,300 shootings in the city, non-fatal shootings, 2,300 people shot, and in 6% of the cases, the police get somebody. It must say something about how difficult it is. It probably says something about how uncooperative people are. And it makes me wonder, too, and this is what the Rascals talked about, would curfew be a good idea, even a lower one? I wonder what Pastor Corey Brooks would say about that. He's that Southside pastor, the rooftop pastor, who's building an opportunity center on the South Side. Pastor Brooks, welcome back. How are you today?
Hey, John. It's great to be on your show again, as always. I appreciate it.
You know, we feature your voice once in a while on my show when at 10:30 we play a little montage of people that have called in or have been on. And there's your cheerful, optimistic voice, sir.
Well, awesome. I appreciate it. And thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to share some of my views and my love for the city of Chicago, just like you have.
You're not going to charge me for the use of that. That may be illegal, what we're doing there, you know.
No, I won't charge you. I'll just make sure you speak at our gala or something like that. A little quick pro quo.
Hey, how's the fundraising going for the Opportunity Center?
It's going good. You know, we just finalized our closing for our bridge loan with Chase Bank. And so we have all the funds that we need to complete 75% of the building. The other rest of the funds we're going to have to raise to finish the swimming pool, the theater, and the rooftop. But it's going to be a fantastic facility, and a lot of people have been giving across the country, and we're really appreciating it. I have no doubt we're going to be able to raise the rest of the funds, so we'll have 100% completion. But right now the building is going up, and it's amazing. If you were to come over and see it, or if someone were to drive by King's Drive, they would be amazed at what's going on.
6,000 block of South King Drive. What's the cross street there?
It's 6620 South King Drive, and the cross street would be 66 and 67th.
Yeah, I guess so. Sure, right. What am I thinking? Yeah. Well, so what's the total cost of the project going to be, Corey?
The total cost of our project is about $48 million. Of course, prices have been going up because of, like, as long as we take, yeah.
That's more than it used to cost.
Yeah, definitely more than it used to cost, but it's well worth it. You know, these guys are doing a wonderful job, these union workers who are working on the facility. All of them, mostly from Chicago, man, they're doing a fantastic job. I mean, this building is remarkable. And I think when people see what's happening on this street in this community and to see this type of structure being built, You know, it says something about what can happen across the city. We're one of only five cranes up in the whole city. So, you know, that's a special moment.
When's the last time we saw one of those on the south side, right?
Exactly. And, you know, there hasn't been a new structure, a new facility built on the south side of Chicago in some years. And so for this facility to be going up in this community, the size of it is massive. You know, you're talking about 90,000 square feet of facility that's going to be used to help transform people's lives. I don't think you could ask for anything better when it comes to creating a model that can be used across the country to help urban areas to transform.
Private dollars too, right? You're not getting any public help on that, are you, or are you?
Private dollars, you know, all the funds. We did receive a $2 million grant in 2018. But outside of that, that's the only government money that we received. It's all been private funds. It's all been donors across the country who are concerned. And, of course, with a lot of help from two major benefactors, the Robert R. McCormick Foundation and Ken Griffin. And I think I owe a lot of that to you, John. You may not know it, but I think a lot of your support and talking about it garnered the attention of those two individuals, and they've helped us tremendously.
Yeah, it's nice of you to say. I don't know that I get any credit for that, but I think that we just keep it out there. People want to give. People want to help if they believe that it is something that will be helpful. Of the $48 million, how much has been accounted for? Some of it's already been spent, but I mean, if it's $48 million, how much of the $48 million do you have?
40. We have about 40 million. The other 8 million is going to be what's used to finish the swimming pool, the theater, and the rooftop. So, but we have 40 million on hand to get most of the center done. And so what we'll do is, if we don't raise that other 8 million, we'll get a partial occupancy and open the parts of the center that can be open. So
when do you want to have it open, Corey?
Right now, they're looking at April of 2026 that's not having the swimming pool, theater, and the rooftop. But if those three things, if we get the funds to finish those three things, then we would be looking at probably June of 2026 to finish those. But if we get a partial occupancy, it's going to be April.
Do you think that curfews are helpful in trying to stem the problem of groups of young people who will sometimes disrupt the city? Sometimes shots go out, as happened at that movie theater not far from the radio station.
Listen, as a person who works with kids and a person who works in the neighborhood, who knows a lot about these kids going downtown and doing things that they should not be doing, I can say 100% that a curfew in effect would tremendously help. A lot of these young kids aren't being parented, and they're renegades throughout the city on their own, doing their own things. And for those children whose parents are not keeping them accountable, then it's up to us to make sure that they're accountable. So, you know, until we get the crime down, until we get these shootings down and we get everything under control, absolutely there should be some curfews in effect.
Is that because it would at least give the police a tool, a legitimate reason to disperse the kids? Because, Pastor Brooks, my thought is that a young person with a gun in a crowd at a movie theater, they don't care about a curfew. I mean, they've got a gun and they're going to shoot somebody out there. What is it? A curfew doesn't scare them. Talk about that, Corey.
Absolutely. It gives our police department another tool, and it's apparent that they need all the tools and all the support that they can possibly get. They're working tremendously hard to keep our city safe, and anything that we can give them to be an enhancement to what they do is going to be better for them. And so, you know, and like you said, these young people, some of these young people are carrying weapons and carrying guns. I don't think people understand the magnitude of how many young boys on the south sides and west sides of Chicago, throughout Chicago, period, are carrying illegal weapons. And I think, you know, we need to do everything possible that we can do to make sure that our police have the everything they need to try to help keep us safe. And a curfew is definitely a tool that would help. It's unfortunate that we have to resort to that, but at this time, the way things are, I don't think we have a choice.
Do you tell the – how many people go to your school, are part of Project Hood, are part of the New Beginnings Church? How many people do you influence?
We influence thousands. You know, thousands of young people come through our programs, participate in our school, come through our programs, in our neighborhood. We have a direct impact on a lot of individuals, especially those who live in Parkway Gardens. And, you know, we are constantly reminding them when they have these gatherings. We have to constantly remind our young people, hey, that's not something that you're supposed to be participating in. And I personally, whenever I hear about our young people going to participate in those activities, I directly contact their parents and I talk to them, because I don't think they understand the magnitude of the trouble that they can get in sometimes. And we've had some people, some kids, that we've had to take and turn in because of some acts that they've committed on the train. So I had to take six of our young people in. It hurt me to do that, but I worked with their parents and I took them in. And matter of fact, one of them went to court today. So, you know, it's something that we have to do. It's something that we don't want to do. But whatever we got to do to keep the community safe and make things better, we have to do that.
You posted, thanks to Project Hood, that's your organization, lives are being saved. 75% drop in homicide, 75% drop in robbery victimizations, 44% drop in violent crime. Are you talking about in the neighborhood where you live and work?
We're talking about in Woodlawn. You know, I wish that was the case for all of Chicago, and I believe we have a formula for what could work. But in the Woodlawn area, we've seen significant drops because of the work that we're doing. And it's no doubt about it that we have a formula that's working. And it's no doubt about it that even when we get this center up, we're going to be able to have to help more neighborhoods, including the Chatham and Englewood and Bronzeville areas, and Roseland, our reach is going to be even further. So I have no doubt that we'll be able to help those neighborhoods like we're helping the Woodlawn neighborhood right now.
Pastor Corey Brooks from Project Hood in the Woodlawn neighborhood, the south side of Chicago, has been instrumental in maybe turning that neighborhood around. Maybe that's too soon or too much to say, but I think he has made it a model of how a neighborhood can become safer. And his opportunity center that he's building on the south side, $40 million in, $8 million to go, will be more than just a pool and a gym and a theater. It'll be a place where classes are taught, mentoring will take place. There'll be a bank there. There'll be a restaurant there. There will be ways for people to not just escape the violence, but not fall into the violence. How's that for a pitch, Pastor Brooks?
Hey, that's great. I need to package that, and I'm going to use your voice and put that out. That's exactly what we're doing, and so I think that's what works.
So what is the formula then? I mean, that thing isn't up and running now, although you do have a hybrid of it, if you will. You are teaching kids trade skills and stuff like that. But what are you doing that makes your neighborhood, maybe you think, a model?
Well, three very important things. One, you got to get the whole community involved. I think a lot of times we're so segmented in the city of Chicago and so divided that we don't get everybody's buy-in. But one of the things that we try to do is to make sure that we're getting everybody's participation in the Woodlawn area to understand the programs, to understand the things that we're doing so that they can get involved. Two, you have to have the financial resources to hire individuals from these different parts of the neighborhoods who typically have not gotten along, who have been at odds and then found themselves in conflict at times. And we have to get those individuals hired and trained and give them the counseling and the things that they need, along with the financial resources to work a job so that they can bring the community together. And then thirdly, we have to have the programs available to them to help them to take responsibility for their own lives. I have discovered that people really don't want all the government assistance They only want that when they think they have no other option and no other choice. But when you start showing people that, hey, there is an alternative, there are choices, there are things that can be done, they want to do better for themselves. They want to do better for their families. And so I think you have to have a combination of all of those things working as we do. And then, you know, you just have to go and be relentless about changing and keeping and inspiring people to buy into the vision. So that's what we use, and that's it's working, and I believe it would work in other neighborhoods.
Yeah. When you talk to those young men that you alluded to earlier, how reachable are they, Corey? Do they have remorse? What's motivating them? What would motivate them to not carry a gun or not loiter in front of a movie theater and wild through the city in the summer? I mean, talk to me just about the mindset and how you communicate with them.
Here's how we do it. One, they need lots of mentorship. They need people to speak life into them. So many of them are coming from negative environments and negative influences that they need positive role models and positive people to speak life into them. So they need mentors. They need opportunities outside of the ones that have been created for them. They need positive opportunities. And then they need exposure. One of the things that we're doing next week, we're taking 30 kids from this neighborhood who are not, you know, are not our greatest kids, and we're not trying to reward them. We're trying to expose them to live a better life. We're taking them to Zimbabwe, Africa, and when we go to Zimbabwe, they're going to be doing some missionary work in the ghetto areas. They're going to be working with some orphanages. They're going to be working with some kids who have AIDS, and they're going to see life from a different perspective, and hopefully that exposure will help them to understand that they have to live life better. So mentorship, opportunity, and exposure are really important. But I do believe kids can change. I believe that the heart can be reached, and I think that we cannot give up, because if we give up, then we're just going to lose another generation, and we're going to continue to see our community spiral downward. And that's what we cannot afford if we really love Chicago.
Talk about those kids a little bit. So who are these kids? How did you pick them?
So we took our kids. We looked at a list of kids and said, okay, who are our roughest, toughest kids? And we took half of those kids and said, okay, let's put them into a program. And if they're able to succeed through this program, then we'll take them on this trip. So some of them are kids who are in our program, and then some of them our kids who are in our church, who are doing good in school, who are following the rules, who are doing everything. So it's a 50-50 group. You know, it's a 50% of the group is really tough, and 50% of the group is doing really good. So, but most of them are from our neighborhood, most of them are from our church, and most of them are from Project Hood. We're going to be taking a second group in August, and that group is going to be a group of all some of our toughest, roughest kids. And hopefully this will help to change them.
What ages?
The ages are 12 to 18. I think, our youngest one is 12. Our oldest is 18.
This is fantastic. You're going to put them on an airplane and fly them to Africa and have them do mission work?
We're putting them on an airplane. Thanks to American Airlines next week, Tuesday, they're going to be walking them through, you know, showing them how to, teaching them some airport etiquette and how to act on the airplane.
Yeah.
And so thanks to American Airlines for doing that, Steve Chafe. We appreciate it. And then, we're going to do that on Tuesday. Then on Thursday, we're going to be taking off from O'Hare Airport. And these kids, we're going to film it. We're going to talk about it. And so you'll see the pictures, and it's going to be a great experience.
You going to go with him, Corey?
I don't want to leave anyone over there, and I don't want anyone getting in trouble. So I have to go. It's not something that I wish I didn't have to, but I have to go to this trip.
And one last question about that: how long did you say you're all going to be over there?
It's going to be 10 days. We'll leave on Thursday,
wow,
and then I think we come back the following Saturday.
You know, when you said we're going to take some of these
break.
You said, we're going to take some of these kids and we are going to take them. I thought you were going to say to the museum. I didn't think you were going to say Zimbabwe. So that's aspirational. That is very progressive. And I'm fascinated by this. Maybe we'll connect with you when you're over there. You can give us a head.
Absolutely. Play. We should do that. We should do that. And I would love to. And I'll send you some footage. And I'd love to talk to you while we're over there. That'd be great.
If I want to donate to your project, Pastor Brooks, what do I do?
Please, projecthood.org, and they can donate toward finishing out the center or donate toward our programs. We really appreciate any help that we can get. And, you know, people can drive by and they can see that their money is being spent wisely.
Pastor Corey Brooks is the founder of New Beginnings Church and Project Hood, projecthood.org. Okay, we'll be in touch next week then. Safe travels, Corey.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. God bless.